somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. For God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. For God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify. There have been times in my life when I was down in despair. I fell down on my knees and called on God in prayer. I thanked Him for His blessings and named them one by one. But most of all, I thank You, Lord, for what You've done. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. For God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify. Tell of His goodness, come on and testify. Tell of His goodness, come on and testify. Can I get a witness? Get up! Somebody shout glory! Get up! Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. Somebody ought to testify. Whoa, somebody ought to testify. For God I'll live, for God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. I said, for God I'll live, for God I'll die. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For God I'll die. Somebody ought to testify. Somebody needs to, somebody needs to testify.
Tamara, that was great today. Good job. Great singing. It's good to see you all out here today. Some of you drove a ways to be here. It's good to see some old faces. How should I say this? Faces we haven't seen for a while. Whatever. It's good to have you all out here today. We're going to have a wonderful service, and we're just going to lift up the Lord for those of you that remember our dear friend Lou Kelly. Went home to be with the Lord Wednesday night at 8:10. And we had a chance to talk to Liz a couple of times. And she cried. We prayed. We love Lou, but we know he's in the best hands. The doctors gave him 5 months to live. 12 years later, he passed away. So the Lord has our appointment. Amen. The doctors can say something or talk about it, but we know that God has it in control. So let's give today to the Lord and thank Him for all the blessings. Lord, we thank You for today. Pray that You'll bless our time as we share together. We want to lift You up to glorify You. So Lord, help us to do that through the singing and the worship, through the spoken word. Just help us to turn our attention completely to You. Forgive us where we failed this week. Help us to do better next week. And we thank You for what You're going to do. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Now before you sit down, shake someone's hand and say, God bless you, to someone. Okay, that's good enough. Don't want you to get too terribly friendly. You might end up down at the Golden Corral or someplace for lunch. Oh, my goodness. We've got Gary Dooms in the house. There you go. So give him a hand. That's the way we do it.
You want the slow one or the fast one first?
Fast one and then the slow one. Care. Oh, yeah, Bernie in the house. Bernie Parquette does a lot for us. Tom, of course, her husband, is directing our programming here and everything. And got some exciting things coming up. We're going to share a little bit later. But hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
How you doing? Where are you from?
My Minnesota accent came
out
there.
Oh, yeah. Cool beans and all that. Yeah. Okay. So what are you going to sing for us?
It is well with my soul. I haven't done that one in a long time.
Oh, I love that one. It's a beautiful song. Bernie sings at the Hard Luck Diner, but she works right here with us. Let's make her feel welcome. Bernie Parquette, come on.
Thanks. With my soul. faint should fall, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul.
It is well.
Oh, it is well with my soul. It is well.
It is well with my soul.
My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord,
oh my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be such, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, with my soul, it is well. With my soul, it is well. It is well.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stay. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, lead me home to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. Precious Lord, you're the one that my life on. You're my rock, you're my hope, you are my song. You lift me up and made me strong when my way, when it was wrong, is my head. Precious, now lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is all, almost gone, hear my hand, lest I go. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. Take my hand, precious Lord.
Let's hear it for them. Come on, that was a great worship today. Great worship. Tamara came in this morning. She's talking about 3 octaves lower, her voice. And she said, I'm a bass today. But she did it great, didn't she? So did Bernie and Gary on the horn. That was great today. Of course, it's always great.
You get in trouble if you said average.
Well, I was studying this week on this lesson for today, and I never know what's going to happen. Preaching and sharing the message with folks, I have it all worked out to go one direction, and then about 3/4 of the way through it, we're on track, and all of a sudden the Lord just, some people call it a bunny trail. But you know, sometimes the Lord gets a hold of your heart and challenges you. We're going to be coming back starting here in the next couple of weeks to the Gospel of John. Now, a lot of you have been with us many, many years. How many of you in this group right here remember the Gospel of John? Okay. About half you do, a little over half maybe. Well, you know how many years ago that was? 9 years ago. You say, no, it wasn't. Yes, it was. I went back and looked at my computer, and the computer never lies. People lie, but the computer, it can't lie. 2011. 9 years ago. So we're going to come back to that. Remember the chronology was we preached through the Gospel of John. And then a lot of you towards the end said, hey, Brother Hamner, let's preach through the book of the Revelation. I said, well, that Revelation is a little scary. I said, I don't think you're going to want to hear it. No, no, we love that prophecy. We love it. And it's the same author, John the Beloved. Let's preached through the book of the Revelation, about halfway through the book of the Revelation, all of you that said, preach, you came to me and said, we're done. Scaring us to death. We don't want any more of the plagues and the trumpet judgments and the vile judgments. We don't need any more. I go, well, we're halfway through it. And I said, you don't know what this is about me. I always complete the task I start. I just don't leave it there. I said, you asked for it, you get it. Now, come on, shame on you. And I did tell you, a lot of you, as Christians, we are fearless. This last week, I saw this movie. I had it playing in the background while I was working. It said, Quo Vadis. Does it ring a bell with any of you? It's an old movie. It wasn't black and white, but it was old. Robert Taylor and some of these guys and Peter Ustinov. And I mean, some great stuff about Nero. During the time of the early church, Peter showed up in there. So there were some great apostles and prophets. The Christians were there. They took these Christians out into the arena because they were going to crush them. Because Nero had lied and said that they were burning Rome. The Christians are going to pay for it. So they started arresting them wholesale, arresting children, men, women, everybody. They were all there. And they would not feed the lions for weeks at a time. And the Christians would come through the gates into the middle of the arena, singing praises to the Lord. And Nero was up there. Of course, it's a drama. And it's got some Hollywood, but I heard that the martyrs did sing coming out into the arena. And Nero was saying, and they still sing. We can't shut them up. And they would bring them out to the middle of the arena, and then they would loose the lions on them. And the Christians would face their death fearlessly. No fear. Because they knew they were going to see Jesus. In this same drama, Peter, of course, they came to arrest him and they said, we're going to crucify you. And he said, and as tradition has it, I'm not worthy to be crucified in the same manner as my Lord. And so they took him according to tradition, upside down, and crucified him. And there he was, Peter, and he was an aged, he wasn't a young man. And, you know, I start crying because that's exactly what they did. They crucified Peter, and as an old man, he lived his entire life for Jesus, preaching the gospel, performing miracles. He was a miraculous apostle. Went to Rome, turned Rome upside down, basically, because he was an eyewitness to Jesus Christ, and so many people came to Christ. And as an old man, what does he get in return? Hung upside down on the cross, crucified, horrible, excruciating death for this old man. And the world will look at that and say, see, it doesn't pay to be a Christian. Look what you get if you choose Jesus. You get nothing in return for what you give. But for those of us that know, in Peter's last words, encouraging all of the martyrs, we're going to see Jesus soon. We're going to see him. The message rings true as we study the books that John the Beloved wrote. Doesn't matter if it's the Gospel of John, the book of the Revelation. Then we turned over to the epistles. And he had a directive in writing these epistles that was even stronger, more strong than in the Gospel of John. And that was, we got to put out the word that Jesus Christ is all of God and all of man. He is the incarnation, the supernatural deity, as he were. And he, Jesus Christ, is to be worshipped as God. He is the object of our veneration and worship. We need to turn our attention to the cross of Christ and our attention back to Jesus. And if somebody comes preaching another gospel, which is contrary to who Jesus Christ is, or taking us away from the gospel of Christ, It's heresy. And we turn our backs on that type of teaching. He's going on here in the second epistle of John. And once again, as John is writing this as the beloved apostle, the one that knew Jesus better than anyone else, he's right on the verge of being arrested himself and being exiled out to the Isle of Patmos, where he wrote the book of the Revelation. And there, each and every day, he worked in the Roman penal colony, a rock quarry, cutting out rocks, hauling it as an aged man, but God gave him the strength physically to perform his duty, and then strong enough spiritually to receive the visions that he would give him, and then to be able to write what he saw for us all in the book of the Revelation. But it was just before this that he's writing, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, these epistles, these letters to the church at Asia Minor and at Ephesus. John was the bishop. He was the head pastor. And he's trying to encourage them as an eyewitness. You can believe what I'm saying because I was there. I saw Jesus. I know who he was. So you can trust the witness that we're giving. And he says this. In verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world, confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Those are the ones he was warning them against in the entire books, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd epistle of John. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. To this very day, we have people behind the pulpit preaching that it's not so important who Jesus was, but that the words that he said are important. So listen to the words. And it doesn't matter that he was just a mere mortal, just a human being, because God still spoke through the prophets. So he was just a great prophet of God. But he was not Emmanuel, God with us. He was not the incarnation of God as we know him. John is saying, don't listen. They're deceivers. They're people that want to lead you astray if they don't say that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he wasn't God in the flesh. Do not listen to them. They're deceivers. They are antichrist. They're against who Jesus really is. Verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Last week we discussed this. It's up to ourselves to know what we believe. How do we know what we believe? Because we read the scriptures on a daily basis. We study it. We look at it with our eyes. We take it in. We assimilate it. And then we talk about it. Kind of like we're doing today. We're discussing it. A couple of weeks ago, Jeanette came up here, Leon's daughter. And once again, encouraged us to read the scriptures on a daily basis and to study it and to memorize it and to take it into our hearts. Since I was a youngster, a little guy, I had it pounded into me. We read the scriptures on a daily basis. We look at it. My father got these flashcards for us when we were little. And we would look at him and try to memorize him. We'd take him in the car when he would drive every day to Biola University, a college it was at the time, from Paris, California to La Mirada, an hour and a half. Study those verses. Is it going? We get car sick, but we did it. The Word of God was in our faces all the time. It was around us. It surrounded us. At nighttime, we would come home. My parents would take the scripture and have family devotions, even though it was a tough day. My dad was still trying to farm during this time when he was going to Bible college and later seminary. And I looked at my dad and I watched him. And he never wavered from who he was and what he believed. The scriptures were with us on a daily basis. We had it surrounded. We memorized. We talked about it. We'd go to church and they'd have us memorize whole passages of scripture. Of course, Brother John, my pastor that I grew up with, God bless him. He preached the Word of God and he had us look at the Word of God with our eyes. So we would know that he was preaching God's word, not just some idea he came up with. We need to study the word of God on a daily basis. We need to read it. We need to feed ourselves. We need to know what it says so that when somebody comes up with some cockamamie idea, some doctrine or heresy that is not of God and isn't in the scripture, we can stand up and say, no, that's not what God says. That's not what Jesus said in the word. And we can stand against the deceiver, the Antichrist. You know, there's a lot of ideas that are thrown out there today. People come up with these new ideas and they want to make a name for themselves with that new idea. One that came out a few years ago, I told you about this, was the one that the Bible has a code in it throughout the entire Bible. That when the apostles and the prophets of old and the patriarchs were writing in the scripture, even Moses back to the Old Testament, that they were writing in some type of code that would tell us what was going to happen in the future. Things like Hitler's name came out. Some of them said even the falling of the Twin Towers is in there. They had all kinds of ideas and concepts. That there was a code, the Bible code. And they sold the books and made millions of dollars on these ideas and concepts. Well, as soon as I first heard that, I felt a prickling in the back of my neck. I feel that when Satan's around. I said, this is a heretical doctrine. It's going to take people away from the truth of God's word. When I went to Bible college, when I went to seminary, we studied it. Here's what they told us. That the word of God is whole in its entirety and completed and perfect in that wholeness of the word of God. But now people were telling us today, no, we didn't know. We had to invent the computer to really understand God's word. Now I can get on the bandwagon here and I can get all fired up this morning. That's what they taught us. They were trying to teach us that we had to come up with a computer before we could understand God's word. I say, nay, nay. God's word is clear. It's quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's clear, it's concise, it's accurate. We do not need a computer to understand and read and know God's word. So my dad calls me up after watching a certain Christian TV show, all excited about the Bible code. Now my dad was not preaching at the time. He had just retired. I think he was in his late 70s. Boy, I got all bristly with my dad. Now, I tell you what, my dad knew the scripture better than anybody else. When I was preaching every Saturday night, I would call my dad 5 o'clock, sitting back there in the green room, and go over my sermon with him. And I would ask him, what do you think about my interpretation? He says, right on. Or he would say, well, you know what? It's good, but this and this and this. My dad knew the scripture. But even my dad, who knew the scripture, was getting sucked into this heresy called the Bible code. I said, Dad, I'm going to tell you right now, straight up. I've looked at that book. I've looked at the pros and the cons. And I'm telling you, the cons are outweighing the pros of that book. I said, Dad, they took this great writing that we had called Moby Dick about the whale. And they put it on a computer and they did the same thing with the writings in that book. And they came up with the same concepts. They gave numbers to the letters, which, scaring me, numerology is condemned in the Bible. Because it's here, complete. God's word. We don't have to sign numbers. Be careful. I said, Dad, I'm just telling you, smacks almost of Satanism and astrology. That there's a code in there? No, man. When God breathed into those writers. He didn't breathe a code into them. He breathed in the actual words that he wanted them to write. He breathed into the actual concepts that he wanted to display and get out to us. He breathed into them his own way of thinking. There's no Bible code, Dad. We've been tricked. I said, be very careful, Dad. What did they teach you in Bible college and seminary all these years? He started laughing. That the Word of God is one. The Word of God is whole. The Word of God is inspired by God. And in that inspiration, it's clear. Not muddied. Not cluttered up by some type of code. Not muddied. Now, if some of you believe in the code, God bless you. And I'm not going to castigate you too much. But I want you to be very, very careful. Because today, as we go through this and we finish this here, you're going to hear more about every wind of doctrine that comes down and how we're supposed to try the spirits to see whether they are of God or not. Look to yourselves. We have to know what we believe. When something new comes up, we take a stand against it. We say, no, that's not the Word of God. That's not what God wants us to do. It says that we lose not those things which we have wrought or worked for. We work for the truth, always the truth of God, which is found in the Word of God. Not Dave Hamner's ideas and concepts, not Dr. Charles Stanley, not Dr. Hagee, not all of these great speakers and preachers that we have listened to all these years. It's God's Word that we study and listen to. These things that we have worked for, what? To hang on to the truth of who Jesus Christ is, but that we receive a full reward. If we hold to the truth and we persevere to the end, we receive that full reward from God, which is heaven. And we have other rewards that we receive if we're faithful to Him. Verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. It's all about abiding, to remain, to live in Him. We have to live in Him. Transgresses in the Greek is parabino, which means to violate a command, transgress, to deviate from the law. And abideth not in the doctrine, or this particular doctrine, didache, which is instruction, teaching, doctrine. A lot of people say, we don't need doctrine, we just need the Word of God. Correct. Where do we get our doctrines from? God's Word. Where do we get our teaching, our instruction, our belief from? God's Word. We don't make it up. If we're making it up, we come up with some type of cult, some type of other system. Our system is based totally, entirely on God's Word. When we talk about doctrines and theology, we're talking about God's Word, what it says, what it means. And it says this, if we have not the doctrine of God, then we don't have God. If we don't have the Word of God, the truth of God living in us, we don't have God. So we have to pick up that Bible. We have to read it. We have to study it and know what it is. And he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, abide means to, from the Greek word meno, which means to remain, to stay or dwell. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, and once again, particularly who Jesus Christ is, the incarnation, all of God, all of man, that's who he was fighting against, the Gnostics who said that no, he was just a godly man. He was not God dwelling in us and God dwelling with us, the incarnation. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, that Jesus is all of God and all of man, the God-man, he hath both the Father and the Son. The Father and the Son are one. If we believe in the Father, then we must believe in the Son. If we believe in the Son, we must believe in the Father. If we abide, if we remain in the teaching and the correct teaching the disciples gave us, and John is giving us these doctrines of who Jesus Christ is, very critical, very important. Now, I went to Bible college and we studied doctrine, which is a principle or position or the body of principles in a branch of knowledge or a system of belief. Dogma, they call it too. All of these are correct. They had us when we went into Bible college and seminary, study the Greek language, and got into the very words and the meanings of the word. And the meanings were critically important. That's why when I study through that, I'll throw out a Greek word. Not that I'm expecting you to remember it, because I don't remember them half the time. I had 3 years of it. I'm not an expert. But I tell you what, I believe it. And I believe those words and the meanings were important. God breathed into them the knowledge. And the words they wrote were in Greek, and that knowledge was coming out in the Greek language of the New Testament. And those Greek words were exactly what God wanted them to pen. A lot of times in the English, we have to kind of study it a little bit to understand. We go back to the original, the Koine Greek, and we understand those meanings. They're expanded as we study them a little bit more. It's important that we understand it. So God breathed into them those words, the very words, and they wrote it down literally as God gave it to them. And those meanings were critical to all who believed in Him. I went to seminary, I said, Bible college, studied the Greek, studied certain Bible books, went through all the book of Genesis. That was incredible. I had one of the greatest Bible teachers in the world, Dr. Roska, James Roska. Great, great writer. Great, great teacher. Dr. James Roska. You know, he loved Westerns. Louis L'Amour. Nobody knows this. He started writing under a pen name called Jim Ross. You can go to Amazon. He got several books out, kind of like the Sackett family and all those. You know, he started writing these books, and they sold. But here he is, a seminary professor. This is how he's talented. I'm trying to get across. He's talented, and he's putting the Word of God into us young guys. Genesis, he taught me. Taught me the whole book of Matthew. The Genesis, big book. Matthew is a big book. We had syllabuses. We went into the language. We went into the style of writing. And we studied God's Word. It took an entire semester on each of these books. Big time. Went through all the other books. The Pauline epistles. We went into 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Of course, John was a big one in our Greek Bible study. We studied the entire Bible, folks. But they needed to teach God's Word to us so we had an understanding. But then they taught us doctrine. Doctrine. Where did they get it from? From themselves or some idea? They pull it out of the air? No, they got it from God's Word. And the doctrines they taught went under these headings. Well, theology is the first one. So I had theology 1, 2, and 3. Dr. Soce and many other great teachers from Dallas Theological Seminary graduate came over to Talbot, and they were great teachers. Dr. Holloman was my theology teacher. Great, great scholars, teachers. And I was amazed as they would teach. They would put the concepts out and back it up with the Scripture. The Scripture was always first and foremost. These concepts weren't just ideas. They were based, every one of them, on the Scripture itself, the theology, who God is, His attributes, his major attributes, the relative attributes, the natural attributes of God. We studied all these things. Then after theology, we went into soteriology. That's the study of salvation. Theology, theos in the Greek, which is God, and then ology always means a study. Soteriology, the study of salvation, where we studied about how people are saved and the meanings and understanding, all based once again on God's Word. A lot of it in the book of the Romans, we studied through the Pauline epistle there. And then Christology, the study who Christ was, which is what John the Beloved is doing right here. This is a great study in Christology, the study of Christ, who He really was. It's not just the man that that healed the sick, walked on the water, fed the 5,000, raised Lazarus from the dead. It's not just about that. It goes well beyond him just being a martyr for his faith and being nailed to the cross and dying, and that's it. It's all about who he is. He's all of God and all of man. And if we choose Jesus Christ, we worship him as God because he is God. Soteriology, Christology, one, another major doctrine. When we studied him, the essential points of our faith, the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, which we're studying about right now. He was the Messiah. This goes along with that. The blood atonement, the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on the cross. The bodily resurrection of Christ, his ascension to heaven, his second coming, which we talked about a lot in the book of the Revelation. We studied all this in seminary. Then there was one group called, or study called the bibliology. The study of the Bible and how the Bible is God's Word and how we learned that it was inerrant. Back in the day that I went to seminary, there was a battle for the Bible. Dr. Harold Lindzell wrote this book called The Battle for the Bible, where some of the liberals, when I say liberals, this is not political now. This is all about spiritual things. We're saying, well, that inspiration, it's not so much about the words themselves. It's mainly just the meaning. So if we just have the concept or the meaning, then we got it. And those of us that espouse Dr. Harold Lindzell on this battle for the Bible, he said it's a watershed issue. It starts at the very beginning. If we at the beginning of faith say the words don't have any real importance to us, but it's just the concept, then he said we've lost the battle at the beginning. It's right at the beginning. But if we say what the Word of God says, the holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit and spake and wrote through the moving of the Holy Spirit. And all Scripture, that all is everything, is given by inspiration of God. God's Word is truth. Harold Lindzell said it. And I believed it because as a young man growing up, I knew this was God's Word. He said the words themselves are critical and important. And God's Word is without error. Now you say, well, there's some things here. Copiers' errors, yeah, that could happen over the years. Scribal errors, yes, maybe. Notations, and we understand that today. The more we study God's Word, we understand, well, this could be scribal, this could be this and that. But once again, in their originals, the Word of God is complete. And it without error. Because our God is without error. That's one of the tenets of God. That's one of the attributes. Immutability. It's no error. So when God gave them the words to write, they wrote the words without any error. They understood because God breathed into them his words and what he wanted them to write. It says this, now that we understand this, verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. So I looked at that and I thought, oh, that would be a rough one. Then I said, no, it's not so rough. John had it right on the button. If anyone claims to be a Christian and comes into our house and says, and the key concept is claims to be a Christian and says to you, this isn't God's Word. It's not important. Everyone has their own idea. And this is the big one today. God loves everybody. He's not going to send anyone away. Universalism. Had a pastor friend that turned to universalism. Big time pastor. It's okay. All roads lead to Rome. No, they don't. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way. He didn't say there are 10,000 other religions out there you can follow. He didn't say just be a good person and do all these good works. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So, if somebody comes into your house and says, Jesus is not God, it's not important. It's just about the concepts. The words don't matter, really. It really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you just love everybody, universalism. The Bible says don't receive them. You say, well, that's kind of exclusive, isn't it? And we're all today about inclusive, aren't we? The Bible says no. Don't receive them. Don't get sucked in. If someone claims to be a Christian, they have to know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The declaration by Peter. They have to know that he's all of God and all of man. And that there is no other way to heaven but through him. So, it says you break fellowship. Because in the early church that was going on. They were getting a hold of some of these different types of gospels. Other cultic ideas were coming in. And John, the beloved, here he is. He's saying, I know the truth. I was there. Please listen to me. Please. And he's begging the early church to not join the ranks of those that claim to be Christian but are really lost. Do not go with the wolves in sheep's clothing. They're coming in and Satan is infiltrating the church. And John said, those people that claim those concepts are completely against Jesus and they're antichrist. Do not receive them. But what do we do with people that aren't Christian? What about that? The Bible says we open our arms to them. Apostle Paul did it. He went and preached to Mars Hill and he rubbed shoulders with them and he preached the gospel wherever he could go. He shared the good news. And even at one point, it talks about sitting down and not eating with people that are living in gross and immoral sin, that are not right with God. They claim to be a Christian, but they're living like Satan because that spirit will reach out and touch you. He said, I'm not talking about the unsaved, the unchurched, unchristians. I'm talking about those that claim to be Christian and are living under sin and are not doing what God wants them to do. With those people, don't have a fellowship. But I'm not talking about those that are in the world because we'd have to go outside the world if we as Christians are going to live in this world. He said, no, as Christians, we show them a better way. We show them that we can have our sins forgiven. We show that we can walk in this newness of life. And as we're walking in newness of life, they're going to receive it. You know, in this book or this story I told you about Quo Vadis. And how many of you happened to see that a few years back? It's an old, yeah. You movie buffs would know what I'm talking about. I like those old ones. They always kind of taught some type of values. And if somebody even was wrong and living wrong, it always showed the end of their ways that was not right. In this book, and in the book and in the movie, it showed those Christians that gave up their faith for the Lord Jesus in their singing. When the second wave of Christians came out, they were singing again. Because they said, we go singing unto the Lord. We go meet the Lord, worshiping him. And then, boom, when we're in heaven, we'll just be singing away. That was their concept. They came out and the big leaders, they put them up on crosses and they put pitch all over them in the middle of the arena and they set them on fire, burned them all. I'm watching this. Oh, I just thinking about it. That's why you're sitting here today, because of what they did. Do you know that? Because pretty soon the jeers quiet down in the stands and the people begin to weep and mourn for the Christians. They saw true faith. People going to meet their death without fear. They saw the truth in these people's lives. And they wanted the truth. At no other time in the history of the church has there been such a huge growth than at that one point. Persecution under Nero. People came to Christ and their lives were changed forever. And they were willing to die for it. I don't know if you're willing to die for your faith today. But we don't know what the future holds. It may be in the future. They do remove the truth from us. It's a little scary. They don't want us to have anything that represents the truth. Some of you may say, well, I understand you. We don't want to offend anybody. Hey, the gospel's going to offend people because it's the truth. It's going to offend them. We have to get over that part about offending people. We have to present the truth of Jesus Christ in love. Not beat them over the head. I'd like to sometimes. And this is a pretty big Bible. I could do a number. But the truth is right here in God's Word. And we have to receive it. And we have to believe it. They may take it away. We may have to do what they did. They went underground. And they had midnight meetings where they would come together. So they could hear the Word of God. And one of those meetings, Peter was telling them this true story. His testimony of how he denied Jesus 3 times and the Lord still had a plan for his life. I'm telling you, that movie, killer. They only gave it 4 stars. I understand why. They're putting it out there. It's pretty accurate at that point. We as Christians have to stand up for the truth. The truth of who Jesus Christ is. And if anyone comes to us claiming to be a Christian and says, oh, he was just a good man. He was just a godly-filled man. We need to say, no, we know the truth. And then we walk away. Now, if someone ever comes on this pulpit and wants to preach some type of universal philosophy that all roads lead to Rome, everyone's going to go to heaven, I'd have to say that's not the truth. One way to heaven. One way to the Father. Jesus Christ. And that's where we put our focus. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. The Word of God is so clear of who Jesus is. When we come back and study the book of John, and I was reading through some of that this last week too. Excited. Because that really spells it all out. The Gospel of John shows who Jesus Christ really is. These epistles that we've been studying teach us about who Jesus is. But as we study and look at God's Word, all of us need Jesus. There's not one person in this building right now that doesn't need Jesus. Not this pastor, not one of our worshipers, not one of our congregants that are here. We all need Jesus Christ. We all need Him. That's why we come together, to share the truth. Maybe here today you've never accepted Christ, but the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You need to accept Christ as your Savior. I want you to give it this opportunity to accept Him. Just say a simple prayer. Open up your heart to Him. Say this. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I know I'm a sinner. I need you. I want you to come into my life. Take away all my sins. Wash me clean in your precious blood. I now receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. And I believe that you are all of God and all of man. Thank you for coming to this earth and saving me. And I vow to you now that I will live to you to the best of my ability each and every day. And I will make a priority of reading the Scripture, the Bible, and understanding what you'd have me to understand. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart. And Lord, I pray for each and every person that's here today and those that may be listening. I pray to Lord God that you will bless them and help them as they open up their hearts to you. That today will be a wonderful day as you transform them. Thank you for this moment that we can have. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, amen and amen. We want to thank you so much for coming out today. Our worshipers did a good job. Bernie, it was great as usual. Gary did a good job. Tamara, under the weather, came dragging herself. Oh my goodness. They did a good job. We're going to have communion in a moment. It just takes a moment. So if you're able to stay, just stick around for a moment and we'll have a wonderful fellowship together right over here by the table. And it just takes a moment. Keep that short list even shorter. Now we have a bucket on the way out if you're able to help with the ministry. And last week, some of you were confused and came to me and talked to me this week. And some of you even turned on television this morning and have some paid programming on. 6 to 6:30. We're not starting till April the 5th. That's when Branson Gospel Sunday goes out. And it's on the ABC affiliate on Direct and Dish, channel 33. I believe with Suddenlink it's like a 7 or 8, channel 8. And then there might be some others there. You need to look it up and see what an ABC, Mediacom, I think some of the other cable networks. So we'll get more information on that as we go along. Last week, the confusion. Some of you donated to the TV ministry that we're raising the funds for, which is really excellent. I think we've raised over half the finances for it already, at least in pledges and people that have given money. And I want to thank all of you that have done that and come alongside to help. So we still have half to go. And I think it'll come in during the year. But if you're able to help, if you are going to do this, it's in lieu of our normal tithe. If you attend our church and you tithe to our church, this will be in lieu of the normal tithe. And so it will be a gift. It can be a one-time gift or a monthly gift. And some of you gave like a one-time gift. On the bottom, put TV. Branson Gospel Sunday on your check, but TV. And we'll earmark that for the account. And you'll get the credit and everything for that giving to the ministry. But we'll know that that's going to the TV part production to help us to do that. Now, it's approximately for the entire year, $12,000, $1,000 a month, $250 a week. That's what it boils down to. And then we get 18 commercials. So watch your television. Turn on channel 33 because you're going to see the commercials for our theater and our church service is going to come right up. Branson Gospel Sunday. I'll be inviting people to come be part of the live shoot and then also people to tune in 6 to 6:30. And then from 6:37, James River comes on. So I think it's in a good spot right there. Well, they have two services that are going on, and I think it'll help build up some folks. And the range is very good. It goes all the way down into Arkansas, deep into Arkansas, way past Harrison, halfway up to Kansas City, past Clinton, I believe. It goes all the way to Joplin, and it goes all the way out to West Plains. And the viewership is very large for ABC and KSPR. If you're able to help us, and you see the vision with us to enlarge our ministry. And I'm not going to do this every week. This might be the last Sunday that I'll even talk about this. You can do it by giving a gift and just helping us. And once again, Wanda is really good watching those dollars and money. She's extra good. And so if you can help out, we appreciate it. If not, pray for us. And if not, even if you don't tune in, set your TVs to tape it, to record it. So then you can have it archived. And then it's also going to be archived on the channel 33 online. All of our services are going to be online and they're set up down there too. I'm excited because I think the Word of God's going to, we're going to have a larger audience to reach. Right now we're on Vimeo. Right now we're on Farm and Ranch TV. April 5th, going to be on ABC, KSPR, Channel 33, locally. And then you can all kind of tune in. And if you're not here, if you live in Missouri or something, you can still tune in. Or you can go to the 33, and you're going to see it all archived there. And it's all going to be filmed and archived. That 30-minute production show is going to be right there. So that's what's going on. And like I said, I'm not going to talk about it ever again. This is probably it, and I hope I explain. And if it, does anyone have a question real quick about this whole thing? I think we're all good. Okay, let's all stand together. We do have some prayer requests here. This last week, I told you about Lou passing away. Sad, but yet he's with the Lord. And we prayed, and Liz, just pray for Liz and Kim and the family and all of them struggling there. We just lift them up to the Lord. We keep them in prayer. Kevin is with us today. It's so good to always have Kevin. And just pray. He finished his chemo and his radiation. Let's give the Lord a praise on that. And got to ring the bell and do all the things. And now he's just got to get his strength back. And just pray for him that God will strengthen him each and every day. Jim and Alan are still recovering, but they're in church. It's so good to have you guys here. And just pray that God's going to keep blessing them and strengthen them through their surgeries. And then pray also for Jim's heart. George is here. I'm loving George. It's good to see you, brother. I know it's a little bit of a drive, but I love you and Sody. How are you doing, Sody? You hanging in there? She's hanging in there. Love you. Those Korean pears and apple, delicious. Delicious. Thank you. Keep praying for George that God is just going to keep strengthening his heart. Mary Meyer's daughter fell off a ladder this last week. We know about that with Denise and her fall. Julie Parrish is her name. She's not walking very well. Just lift her up to the Lord that God's going to touch her. Carl and Anson Brian, how's he doing there, Carl? About the same. We keep lifting him up to the Lord that God's just going to bless him. Richard Jenkins and Bill Scritchfield, Richard and Bonnie and Bill and Wanda, let's just lift them up to the Lord, that God's going to just strengthen them and touch them as they're going through all of this. Now, we have one other announcement that we have to make. We got the prayers. We went through the prayer list here. One other announcement. Next Sunday, the 23rd, we're having a social. We don't get to do this as often, off-season a little bit. At the Pizza Ranch. I'm all excited about this. I called Doug and he said he's got a room over there that we can all go and hang out. And we'll put name tags on so we get on a first name basis. I know some of you folks and some of you don't have a chance to stay for communion, so I don't get to talk to all of you. But now we want to talk, you know, and get to know one another. So let's do this. It's on the 23rd, next Sunday, right after church. And you go over there and you tell them you're local. They're going to give you a discount. I don't know what the normal price is, but the discount is $11. It includes everything. Well, and then tax is $12, I guess. But that includes a drink and everything over there. But you need to tell them that you're local. And then tell them also that you're with us. And then you can come and then direct you to the room that we have there so that we can all do that. That's next Sunday. Don't forget, folks. Tattoo it. Okay, now you remember. Everyone remembers. Well, let's give the Lord this prayer request. Give him the ministry of what God's doing, and then we'll dismiss you. But if you're staying for communion, stay, and we'll take care of that. Lord, we thank you that you're the God that hears. You're the living God. And you sent Jesus to pay our penalty on the cross. What a penalty that was. Suffered. Bled and died for us so that we could have everlasting life. Thank you that you want us with you that much that you would take our sin upon your body. Help us, Lord, help us to live for you each and every day. Bless each and every person that's here. Encourage them. And I pray, Lord God, that you will lift up those that are sicker and infirm, those that have lost loved ones, those that are struggling today, Lord God, that you will just be with them. But Lord, I pray that you'll help us and encourage us. Lord, lift us up as a church and help our ministry to go forward and to go out so that others can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you for what you're going to do. Bless each and every person here. Lift us up, we ask this. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. All God's people said, amen. God bless each and every one.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.